Good, good, good. I'm going to read some scriptures today. We're going to pray. Hallelujah. I'm excited. I'm excited about what God's going to do in this house. Do you know God so wants his people free? I mean, the anointing back there today when we were praying is huge. Why is that? And you know, it's because God wants his people free. And he wants us free so we can accomplish what he's called us to accomplish so that we can receive what he has for us. You know, God didn't give us in order for us to not receive. He desires that we receive from him. He wants you, you know, it's just like if you had all these good things for your children, but your children will never open up and take what you want to give them. You know, it would break your heart. God wants you to receive today what he has for you. Amen. Joshua 8:1, this is the fourth week that I've been up here. I did 2 weeks on bitterness, and then I've done the 2 weeks on fear. So we're going to, today when we pray, we're going to be specific in dealing with fear and roots of bitterness, okay? So those are things that I want you to specifically gear in on. Now, you might have some other issues, and we will deal with those as we go, and I might even come against some of those things today. All you have to do is set yourself into agreement. All right. It's that easy to get rid of the demonic. Because one of the main reasons it's so easy to get rid of spiritual forces is this. They've been stripped, made a bold display of, they've been disarmed, and they've been triumphed over on the cross. Okay. So the enemy we deal with deals out from the strategies of deception. Not from the strategy of victory. He doesn't have victory. There is no victory for him. He's right. He only operates from that position of defeat. So he has to deceive people to get people to let him allow him to work in their lives. But once we find him out, when the thief is found out, you know what? Not only does the thief have to go when he's found out, he has to restore. That's something we don't declare and claim enough is restoration. We need to start doing that. Hallelujah. Joshua 8:1. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. Do not be dismayed. For I have given you the king of Ai. Now, God was speaking to the Israelites, and the kings, where they went in and into the promised land, when they went in, they faced demonic kings, principalities and powers, the kings there. And that's why so many times they just wiped them out, because they were areas of high level witchcraft. They were people who served Baal, who sacrificed children, Molech, those types of things. So he said, don't fear them. Don't be dismayed, for I've given them to you. I've given you the king. Now, it's interesting if you're going to want to look at your place in this, all right, with the deliverance. God said to the people, and he says this over and over throughout the Old Testament, but he says, I've given you the land. I've given it. Go in and possess it, because it's yours. It's yours. It's yours. It's yours. It's yours. It's yours. But they still had to go in and possess it, didn't they? All right. So Jesus has already paid for everything for you on the cross, but you have to possess it. The word possess means dispossess. Look it up in the dictionary. It's so, you know, how hard is that? If you want to possess, you dispossess. In other words, you have to go dispossess what's holding on to what you are told to possess. So he said, go in and possess the land. But in their possessing, they had to dispossess the enemy. And yet he promised them that it was theirs, didn't he? He said, I've given it to you. It's a done deal. Now I'm going to give it to you. I've given it to you. So God has given to you your freedom. He's given to you your victory. You have to possess it. Okay, so today we are going to dispossess the enemy in arenas and areas of your life. Okay, so you're going to throw him out. So you're going to need to take back your ground. But remember, he fights against you, makes war against you from a position of only deception, trickery, not from a place of victory. Right. Always remember, your enemy does not ever fight from a place of victory against you. All right? You stand in that position of victory. Amen? Isn't that good stuff? How easy is that? Joshua 10:25. Joshua said to them, "Fear not. Do not be dismayed. Be strong and be of a good courage. For this shall the Lord do to all of your enemies." And here they were told to go in and literally put their foot on the neck of the kings. There were five kings, five demonic kings. They took them out and they said to the people, put your feet on their necks. Remember I told you before, I've said this, when God told the Israelites, or not the Israelites, when Adam and Eve were given authority, the word dominion is kibosh. What it means is to put your foot on the neck of your enemy. So God was symbolizing here with the kings, we are to put our foot on his neck today. Declare that. Whatever area of your life that you are dealing with some things, you've got the authority to put your foot on his neck. You've got the authority to take back. See, all God is waiting for, according to the Bible, it says that God is waiting for his enemies to be made a footstool. Now, the one important thing about this is that when we, see, my people perish for lack of knowledge, but when we figure out what he's doing, see, that's why I teach these classes on deliverance, because when you begin to see the strategies of your enemy, then you figure out that it's not you. See, that part of the deception of the enemy is to try to get you to think you are a total failure, you're a loser, and if you could just straighten up, everything would go okay. He doesn't let you know that the strategies and all this junk against you is from him. We have a tendency to think we have just messed up, all right? That's part of his deception. Then we don't do anything, do we? So we're going to ignore that. So anyway, Psalm 27:1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear or dread? The Lord is the refuge and the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Though a host," that means I don't care how many things come against you, "though a host encamp against me, my heart shall not fear." Psalm 31:13, fear was on every side. Do you ever feel like that? Fear was on every side. "The enemy schemed against me, but I trusted in you, and I was confident in you, O Lord, for you are my God." Isn't that a good scripture? Oh, I like that one. Psalm 31:13. Boy, when you're dealing with some real issues, especially, you know, when when Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness, and Jesus, and this is something that's very noteworthy, every time the enemy endeavored to get Jesus to fall, Jesus responded with the word of God. And that's what we're supposed to do, is respond with the word of God. Same thing. But when he had no victory, then what the enemy said was, Satan, he said that, it says in the Amplified, that he left him waiting for a more kairos strategic time. It actually says strategic, but strategic is kairos. And it means that the enemy was watching then for a strategic time, another time for his strategy to attack Jesus. That's what he does with us. He sets up, you know, the gates of hell means, Jesus said, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against you." The gates mean the schemes, the counsels, and the plans of hell shall not prevail against you. Okay, so we all know that there's schemes against us, and many of these schemes come up from the generations. But he said, they will not prevail against you. Fear was on every side. The enemy schemed against me. He was waiting with his strategies. But I trusted in you, Lord. I was confident in you, for you are my God. Isn't that good? Wow, I like that one. Psalm 34:7, "The Lord encampeth around those who fear him." John 14:1, Fear not, do not. This is a command. Fear not, do not be afraid. Neither let your heart be troubled. Heart, don't be troubled. Jesus is here. Amen. Psalm 56, 3 and 4. When I was afraid, when I am afraid, I will have confidence and put my trust in you. I will, by the help of God, praise his word and name, and I will lean and rely upon him. How awesome is that? I just felt like I should read some good scriptures to you on that before I even start this today. I'm going to try to quickly get through this because we are going to pray. So I'm going to try to really just stay on track and read you my notes, all right? Okay, so the spirit of fear, what he does is he endeavors to attack your courage, your vision, and your faith. Because without faith, we don't receive, do we? We've got to position ourselves in faith. And again, it's not hard to position yourself in faith. Don't let the devil lie to you and say, oh, you, how many of you think half the time you're always judging yourself? I don't have enough faith. I don't have enough faith. We do that. It's another strategy. Okay? You do have enough faith. And it's right here. This is your faith right here. This book. And any person can find a scripture. You know, one scripture can get you delivered. That's the power in this word. There's that much power, just one word from God. So here's your faith. Fear has the power to abort purpose and destiny. Fear is the number one plague of America and actually of the world. The Bible tells us that in the last days, men's hearts will fail because of fear. And that's Luke 21, 26. 2 Timothy 1:7, God says, I have not given you a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Here we see God calling fear a spirit. In the Old Testament, I went through this a few months back, and I was looking for it last night. I don't know what on earth I did with that teaching, but it's somewhere in my stuff. The various names of the different peoples that Israel had to go in and war against in the Promised Land were specific demonic entities, and like the Hittites were like had a spirit of fear behind them. So you can imagine, you know, we don't think of Israel ever as going in and you know, when you read the Bible, you think, boy, Israel really blew it. You know, they had all these wonderful manifestations of God. They had all these wonderful things God was doing, and then over and over and over, they didn't trust the Lord. But we don't back up and realize and understand the forces that were coming against them. See, and when you have some forces coming against you, man, sometimes you feel like you have to hang on for dear life. In fact, you know, when my son's bone was dead in his leg, and it was medically impossible for him to be healed, I walked daily in fear. And the only thing that delivered me from the fear was to get a scripture out and keep it in front of my face. And I had to look at it. That's where it says, my son, don't let my word depart from your sight. Because the only way I could even keep myself on track with that was to look at the word. And that was back in the day when I didn't have a clue about anything as far as faith goes. I was in a church that did not teach it. They taught me, accept it. It's your cross to bear. But I couldn't and I wouldn't. But you see, that's where the word of God comes in. If you will just take that word. And he said, fear not. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I fear? So I'd say to that thing, I won't fear you because Jesus is the strength of my life. And I had to answer that. You know, sometimes you need to speak to that thing when it continually comes against you, but you speak with the word. 1 John 4:18 says, fear has torment. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear has torment. So you can know that when you're dealing with fear, there's at least a degree of torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We must come out of agreement with fear and then resist it. Fear is an antichrist spirit. So you've got to be careful that you do not entertain it. When you catch yourself, and it comes in so many sizes and shapes. Fear comes in all sorts of different ways. And it does that in order to keep you from recognizing it. Because if once we recognize it, then his cover is gone. You know, and a lot of times people can have like fear of rejection or fear of failure or fear of storms or worry or anxiety, but those are all fears. And they all need, see, don't identify with them, don't embrace them, and don't hold to them that that's your personality. See, the enemy wants to identify you with these things so you embrace them and go around and carry them throughout life. This is me. This is how I am. No. Right. You know, if it's not the way God says it is, then that isn't you. You know, sickness and disease is not who you are. Cancer is not who you are. You are the healed, according to this book. This is where you choose whose report you're going to believe. And I'm not just talking about sickness and disease. How about finances? How about when your bank account looks like, you see what I'm saying? It always goes back to this. Now, you might have some facts, but the truth always will outweigh a fact. Always. Okay. When my son's bone was dead, fact was the x-rays said it was dead. But the truth was that by his stripes, he was healed. So when I finally put this on top of the x-ray and believed this, the x-ray, which was a fact, was forced by the power of faith to move and line up with the word of God. Isn't that cool? Do you know, amen, your faith is so, there is such a force in this word. And like I said, I don't care if the devil has told you you don't have faith, you have faith. All you have to do is get yourself one scripture out of this book. You are the righteousness of God. Jesus lives in you. You can't get any better than that. So you've got all that you need. So if you'll take this word and you'll begin to say, even one scripture, you can make the thing that is endeavoring, that it's after, its whole thing is after your demise, you can turn it into your place of victory. Amen? You can. This is how easy it is. It doesn't always feel like it's easy, though, okay, when you're in the middle of it. That's where you set your heart. Okay? let me see if I can just find this really quick, because this was really good. What fear comes to do is it comes to alter your position. See, so when you are positioning yourself, okay, something bad comes. So you begin to, you get the word out. You do just like what I'm saying. You might not feel like you have a lot of faith, but okay. Pastor Bev said, if all I do is do the word of God. Actually, it isn't Pastor Bev that says that. Actually, it's Jesus himself. He's the one that says that, okay? I'm just his mouth today for you. And he says that. Okay, then what happens is, because once you start standing on the word, you're dangerous. You're dangerous to every counsel, scheme, and plan of hell against you and everybody else. See, once you find this out, I'll tell you what. You know, Evelyn sometimes says, you know, she goes, the devil wish he never messed with me. That's true. You know, the devil will really wish, you know what, I should have just left that one alone. Especially if they go to Life Church. I should just left them alone. Because when they take that word, we become dangerous. Well, fear then will, it may attack you because it wants to alter your position. But having done all to stand, you do what? You stand. And you look hell right straight in the face. If you're shaking in your boots, it does not make one bit of difference. Thus saith the Lord. It is written. Amen? That's what you do. Okay, we come out of agreement. Faith and fear are equals in that they both project into the future. Faith represents your future, and fear represents the destruction of your future. You have enough faith to overcome any scheme of the enemy. You just have to determine the difference as to whether you are going to follow God from your head or from your heart. That's the simplicity of it. Doubt can attack your head, but it doesn't mean just because doubt's attacking that you have doubt in your heart. See, a lot of times, again, this is back to the place where the enemy wants you to get your focus on you and your abilities. And it's not about you guys. It's not about us. It's about Jesus and about what he did. That's why if the enemy tells you you've sinned too much, no. It's not about you. He paid for that sin. He paid for it. Okay? So when the enemy tells you you've got too much doubt, just know you don't. Just say the word. Just say the word. Just say the word. And that's where you determine. Doubt is nothing more than a spirit. And you can also rebuke doubt. Actually, it's a cousin to fear. Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of God. Romans 10:17. That's where that scripture is. So, again, when you are saying the word over and over and over, it is destroying the tactics and schemes of hell, but it's also increasing you. It'll increase you. Faith, destroys fear in its tracks. It's time that we come out from under the control of fear, worry, anxiety, panic, and stress. If you are in fear, you are out of agreement with God in that particular area of your life. So kind of look at your life. Where are you in fear? If you are, most of us are, at least from time to time. Nobody's arrived yet. Okay, we haven't arrived. We've just plain not arrived. So if we've not arrived, that means we need to position ourselves to come out of agreement sometimes. I can sit and I can teach this and I can preach this to you, but don't think that fear doesn't ever knock on my door, because it does. But then I have a choice, don't I? See, this is what you have to do. It means that, okay, this is coming against me. Am I going to be in agreement with this, or am I going to be in agreement with God concerning it? That's where if you're in fear, you're out of agreement with God. So what do? You reposition. Because remember, fear comes to alter your position. And you need to get yourself, and if you do fall off, you just get back up. You don't stay down, you get back up. Intimidation is another strong spirit that's tied in with fear that is assigned against the church. And it means to make afraid, to frighten by force or fear. And intimidation is huge, because we become intimidated to witness, to take our stand. Most of our families, when we come into the kingdom, think we're crazy, And then we start telling them we're healed. We start telling them God's going to do this and God's going to do that. And that spirit of intimidation from your family just pops right up. And it wants you to stop what you're doing. Why? Because you're going to take ground. You are going to take back when you refuse to be intimidated. You'll take back the grounds. For years and years and years in our generations, no one's ever done anything about taking back. But we are living in a generation today where we are taking back. And we will take back. Sometimes you look maybe at the mess that's been in your family and your bloodline. Why is that? It's because nobody ever stood up to those demonic structures and blueprints and strategies of the enemy that have been in your bloodline. But devil, we've come and we're on the scene now in the name of Jesus. And we're going to take it back so that you can at least begin to alter his position in your family. Amen. Oh, I like that one. Let's start altering the devil's position in our family lines instead of letting him endeavor to alter ours. Remember, you are only dealing with someone who can only fight from a point of deception, because he has no victory. We have all the victory. The enemy endeavors to intimidate us, to keep us from moving forward by faith to receive our promised land. Goliath, who was a form of intimidation, a demonic spirit of intimidation, intimidated the Israelites until David came along. There was one person that believed God. If one can set 1,000, two can set 10,000. You see, we just get stronger and stronger and stronger as we get set free. And this church is getting stronger. So you watch. I mean, we are seeing miracles happen faster. We are seeing all sorts of things. Why? Because, again, these things are being broken down. And just like David believed God, we have multiple Davids believing God today. Okay. In the April 2000 issue of Time Magazine, there was an article that listed over 4,000 different types of fear. Fear is based on not trusting God. As believers, we have both the Lord and Satan demanding our attention at the same time. At the same time and the same place. Both are speaking to you and both are wanting your attention. Satan accuses man in his unsanctified state. However, man is chosen, cleansed, and forgiven. So the enemy wants you to look at yourself as unsanctified. But if you've been washed by the blood, you're sanctified. You cannot get any better. I mean, you guys need to get that in your head and in your heart, both. You can't get any better than you are once the blood of Jesus cleanses you. That's the best we get. And that's pretty good. You know, that's simply standing as in the same as if you stood there before Jesus. And if you don't believe that, then you really don't fully believe the work of the cross. I mean, you're going to have to look at it that way. Either he succeeded or he didn't. Either he fully cleanses us or he just kind of got us halfway there. You are clean by the blood of Jesus. And the enemy, any accusation he makes against you is a lie. Because who are you? You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And it's not about whether you miss it or not. It's because the one who didn't miss it was your substitute. That's where we stand from, is he was our substitute. When we get to that position, see, that's another area the enemy wants to get us off that position, because when we know who we are, then we know we have the right to lay hold of everything. Fear is Satan's faith for you. Fear and faith are equal in this. Both project into the future and both are demanding to be filled. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Fear is the substance of things not hoped for and the evidence not yet seen. Fear can become a self-fulfilling prophecy. The thing that Job feared the most greatly came upon him. In fact, everything that happened to Job didn't happen until he, through fear, received it. I mean, you need to back that up and read that. What I have feared the most, that's Job 3:25, has come upon me. So stop and think about what you're fearing in your life. You need to get that thing aborted. That's something that you do not want to give birth to, okay? Because faith gives birth to things. Fear apparently can too. Fear is an opposite force, and that is why the enemy hammers and hammers and hammers you with that. So you have the authority to rebuke it, and you have the authority to take the word of God and change it, okay? Okay, if you have fear of dying young, of disease, or at any level, you are setting in motion that very thing because of your thoughts. Now, this is another thing that is good to think about, excuse me, and take into thought. Many of us come up through life and we have the religion of heart attack preached to us, cancer preached to us, high blood pressure preached to us, diabetes preached to us, arthritis, okay? Those things, we many times, even before we get started, are believing for those things because our parents had them, our aunts and uncles had them, our grandmas and grandpas had them. So we're programmed and programmed and programmed. When I found out about deliverance, I said, heart attack, you are going to go in the name of Jesus. And I began to call death out of my heart. I'm not having cancer. You see? Start attacking that stuff now. Because genetically, you know, a doctor will tell you that. But they don't, they understand that there's a propensity and a weakness or a bend, which is kind of an iniquity, a crooked, that causes us to be vulnerable for certain things in our lives. But in Christ, you have new genetics, you have new DNA. So therefore, you have authority to begin to say, no, these things are changing and I'm not going to have what my parents had or my grandparents. And you begin to cast them out. And oh my goodness, it works. It works. I should have been dead a few years back already if I followed my family. See? But I got onto this. And so I began to say, no, you are going to go in the name of Jesus. Okay, everything that you are afraid of is demanding to be fulfilled in your life. Satan wants you to believe in a bad report so that he can bring it to pass. And that is why he bombards people with bad reports. Our medical society today is set up to bombard you with bad reports, like it or not. When we go to a doctor and we get a bad report, you better very quickly decide you're not going to receive that. Because what you begin to embrace is what you have. And I've told this story, but we had a young woman who had a huge, I think it was almost a baseball size lump in her breast. And when she was diagnosed with it, the first thing she did was she told the doctor right there in his office, wait a minute. Got on her phone, dialed Pastor Kevin, said, pray for me, Pastor Kevin, because this is what they just said. She goes, and I'm not receiving it. So he prayed for her, and then she came for deliverance, and she's healed today. And this has probably been 3-4 years ago. You know, it disappeared. That tumor just began to shrink and shrink and shrink and shrink. You see? So when we go to a doctor or whatever, wherever you are, and it doesn't have to be medically, but what kind of a bad report, even if it's your children, I don't care what the world wants to say about them. They're in covenant with you folks. You know, God has held to covenant. If we only couldn't, we need to understand covenant. I wish I could teach a whole lot more because I could just teach you guys on so much stuff like covenant. Oh my goodness. If we understood how God is so bound to us, he does not have an option when it comes to covenant because he has put himself and positioned himself there. We're not forcing him to do anything. It was his choice to bind himself to us so that it would help us to not be moved. You see, that's one of the major reasons God does that. God has all, you know, just like we say, well, the enemy's got all these strategies and all these. So does God. Where do you think the devil got the idea? Anyway, right? See, God has got all these structures built in and he's got a blueprint for your life. And he's got all these things in place for you to help you to walk in that victory. Amen. Many people have diseases because they were afraid of getting that disease and they get it in fear. They put more faith in the sickness than they do in God being able to keep them or deliver them. The antidote to fear is relationship with the Lord. In other words, it's trust. Fear is sin. It's not a psychological defect. It is sin. Fear is a spiritual being. When you partake of fear and its nature and allow it to cohabit with you, you become one with it, spiritually and psychologically. And then you become fearful yourself. And I'll tell you what, there are people who are literally crippled by fear. Why? Because of what I just said. They have begun to allow it to cohabit with them. See, we need to start throwing it out. Pastor Kevin said something, I don't know if I'm going to quote him exactly right, but he said, if fear comes, you need to slam the door on it 1,000 times if you have to slam the door on it. But you don't cohabit with it. You say no, no, no. And in your saying no, God will bring you to where you need to be. Right. See, God waits for us to believe him so he can move in. And he comes in like a flood. He comes in like a flood to enable us. Like I say, when my son's bone was dead and I was in fear, but I wouldn't accept it. So God began to lead us to the truth to remove it. See, when you refuse to accept negative reports, even though you may not get your victory right away, that has nothing to do with where you're going to go. Because once you get on that road of faith, God will take you there all the way to the very end of it. But God waits. It's literally like just constantly. I mean, I had the doctor's report. I had the x-rays that I had to go look at every 6 weeks. I had a church that was constantly telling me, no, you can't believe God for this, and thinking I was some kind of a weirdo. And then I had my family, my mother, saying, Bev, you just need to accept the fact he's going to be crippled. He's going to be a cripple. He's going to be a cripple. He's going to be. And you know what? I just kept saying, no, I won't. I won't. I didn't know what to do. But I thought, I know God better than that. You want to know where? This is where the devil messed up with me. When I think when I was about maybe 10, 11, 12, I watched Oral Roberts. I, to this day, you know how traumas can impact you? Oral Roberts impacted me, and I didn't get saved. I mean, I don't even remember, but because my dad was so angry at Oral Roberts, he was cursing him and swearing, blah, 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 while we were trying to watch him on TV. But I thought, oh, God's healing that person. And I would see these people being healed, and healing got dropped into my heart. You see, so when I had to believe for it, that little seed that got dropped in my heart wouldn't let go. Isn't that cool? God's strategy, God's blueprint. See, God's got some things set up for us too. You see, we don't have to accept defeat. Amen? Amen. Counter your fear with, it is written, which will release the power of God into your situation. It is written that no weapon formed against you can prosper. It is written, I will not fear, for the Lord my God is with me. It is written, I will cast all my cares upon you, Jesus. The kingdom of darkness must bow its knee to the word of the living God. 2 Kings 4, when the woman who, in the first place, she didn't even ask for a child, and Elijah, which one was it, Elisha, said, you're going to have a child. And basically she said, don't mess with me. Don't tell me something that's not going to happen. And he said, within a year. Then she lost her child. I think he's in about age 12 or whatever. But she knew she had a promise. And what were her words? It is well. And it's not even, it's going to be well. It is well. And her baby was raised back to life. Because she didn't step off her position of faith. Amen? God has called us to establish his kingdom in truth and righteousness and power. Satan knows that you are sustained in health and sanity to the degree that you match up to the nature and the word of the living God. Satan wants to get you over into another realm, a realm of fear, so that he can begin to program you into another way of thinking that's designed to overthrow the mind, the word, the government, and the action of the Godhead through you. Okay, remember what I said. You are dangerous to the kingdom of God. You are. And then when you get this word in you, you even become more dangerous. That would be like a soldier going out with just a regular rifle and then a soldier going out with a machine gun. Or what do you call those guns? You see what I'm saying? That's the difference. So we can be a threat, but you get the word of God coming out of your mouth. That's huge. They'll put gun laws against you or try to. Anyway. All right. Yeah. Okay. Satan wants to get us into the realm of fear. Fear, anxiety, and stress are synonymous. Stress is the modern term for fear. When you do not defeat your enemy, you become a slave to it. Your psychological reaction to stress increases your risk of heart disease. The psychological effect of stress, which is fear, is the activation of the stress hormone, the adrenaline and cortisol made by the adrenal gland, which then they begin to flood the body, increasing the heart's need for oxygen as it prepares for vigorous action. Heart rate and blood pressure increase, and this is what happens. In fact, when people deal with anxiety, one of the manifestations of the anxiety is heart palpitations, that speeding up of the heart. Muscles tense and sugar levels increase. The tendency for blood to clot increases, and the body cells pour fat into the bloodstream. These combinations put additional strain on your heart and the artery linings. There's the fight or flight was designed to save your life, but people who never come out of it go into the second stage of it. So in other words, fear comes, but what are you going to do with the fear when it comes? Because there's different stages it's going to want to walk you through. And a person whose life is one of constant fear, 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 eventually that catches up on you. See, and that is why, not that it's ever too late in God, but at some place you better get a hold of it. And you better get it out of your life. Okay, they go into the second stage of adrenal adaptation syndrome of fear, which is anxiety and stress. And these, over a long period of time, are detrimental to your health. If your emotional responses are stuck in a constant state of irritation and anger, your stress response is on overdrive, causing racing blood pressure, constricting blood vessels, and pouring out a constant flood of stress hormones. That is why sometimes when people come for deliverance, you may have some other roots here that you need to deal with. You see, if you're a person that's constantly in anger, let's deal with this anger, because that's probably what's the root behind some of this high blood pressure, some of these other issues, you see. Sometimes we want a quick fix, but sometimes we just plain have to deal with this person right here, don't we? You see, we have to look at me, myself and I, and see where I'm missing it, or where I'm given over to maybe anger, or I'm given over to fear, or I'm given over to screaming, or I'm given over to panic attacks, or I'm giving over to worry. You see, and we think, well, that's okay. These are minor things. No, they're not. Fear is not a minor thing in your life. It's huge. So you wonder why I have the stomach problems, or why I'm having high blood pressure or whatever. Well, let's back up here and look and see. You know, this book I've told you to get, A More Excellent Way by Henry Wright, has all those roots in it. And so a lot of times, and it's a good teaching, because what they teach on is the fact that until we deal with some of these root issues in our life, you know, what does the Bible say? Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Do you have to be angry about everything? No. Take a deep breath and release it and say, I don't need to be angry over this. It's not that important. Try doing that sometime. It works. I used to get angry over certain little petty things, you know, and then try to cast out a spirit of anger. Duh. It's like, just don't let the petty things bother you. You know, we really look at things that are not as important. And we get all irritated and agitated and impatient with things and this and that. Take a deep breath and look at yourself and say, you know what? This is not important. And I don't need to be doing this. I don't need to be acting like this. If you have strife in your home, why do you have strife in your home? Probably because of your mouth. I'm sure your mouth isn't helping it. Somebody has to choose to shut up, right? And if it's not them, it should be, I guess, it might as well be you. Anyway, the constant overdose of cortisol destroys the, you know, I preach this to you because I learned this. Okay, the hard way, but I learned it. The constant overdose of cortisol, because I'm the one with the big mouth in our family too. So anyway, the constant overdose of cortisol destroys the autoimmune system. Multiple chemical sensitivity and environmental illness is found in people who have been rejected or hurt in failed relationships that normally begin in childhood. The common denominators are like verbal and emotional abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse. What happens then is that there's a drivenness to meet expectation of either a parent or someone else, okay? So how do you alter that? You need to just kind of backtrack within your own life and say, you know what? This day, I choose to no longer be a victim of what's happened in my past. You see, that again is your choice. You know, if I said here, how many of you could tell me you've had a hard life? Probably mostly everybody in this place could raise their hand, because we all have. But do you have to stay there? Mm-mm. And I know you don't, because I never stayed there. Some people say, well, I can't accept God's love because my father never loved me. Get over it. Seriously. I have no problem letting God love me. None. And I don't think my father never said he loved us. He was not there. He was either laying in a ditch drunk or in a bar drunk. Get over it. Don't let the devil rob. You know, our society today wants to get us into self-pity. Poor you. You mean your father wasn't there? Now that's why you've got all these problems. No, you have a father now who is the healer of all of your problems. Amen? It's kind of like, I'm not going to tell that story today. About one of us laughed and one of us said, oh, they're get over it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Drivenness to meet expectations of a parent. Women with multiple chemical sensitivity and environmental illnesses have amplified blood pressure responses to stress or chemical exposure compared to women who do not have it. They tend to have higher levels of stress from past abuse, poor relationships. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Conversely, if there is fear, there has not been the expression of love. That door was open, and it can cause the destruction of your immune system if you allow it to stay open. Fear causes well over 36 major incurable diseases that are killing people. The fact that fear is sin and also an evil spirit can hinder your prayer life, your need for deliverance from fear. You need to get deliverance from fear and then resist it and refuse to go there with your enemy. In other words, you need to learn to trust God. And again, that brings us back to a place of choice. We have to choose to trust in God. Okay, when I was dealing with a lot of fear, I had to put scriptures up in front of me to look at them, to distract me from the fear, get my focus on the Lord. It was easier once I cast it out. See, what you do is you cast it out. Back in that day, I didn't know how to do that. Before, when I first started out, well, that was before, I didn't start out with deliverance. I just tried casting out a few demons a few times here and there, and it never worked. So I just thought, well, I don't know what I'm doing, so I just quit. You know, because it really didn't work. But it does work. You just got to know your authority. You know, one time I was praying for a woman and I was casting something out of her. I don't remember what it was. It was my, I think, first year I was Christian. When I was Christian, I was probably so obnoxious and so overbearing and so extreme. We put it in newspapers. I mean, we did, you know, but I was casting this devil out of this lady and nothing was happening. So the devil said to me, "You don't know what you're doing." And I thought, no, I don't. So I quit. Now I do know what I'm doing. See, when we become equipped, we become dangerous. Amen? When a person's mind is fixed on fearful or worried thoughts, the enemy has door points into their life. Lack of peace gives him access. Perfect peace belongs to those whose minds are on the Lord. Okay, let me just give you some effects of fear on your body. You can have irritable bowel syndrome, diarrhea, and you know what? That might sound gross, but those are effects. If you've got indigestion problems, could be the fear that you're dealing with. In a fight or flight, your hypothalamus releases a fear stress hormone, ACTH, into your bloodstream. The first docking station for that hormone is your heart tissue. Your heart muscle and your heart races. When you feel danger is over, the hypothalamus stops secreting the hormone of your body and rebounds, and you stay in a state of heightened stress. Your body loses its ability then to repair itself. Fear damages our relationships with other people. We are afraid of people and social situations. We are afraid of rejection and hurt. And a lot of times people who are fear want to isolate themselves and keep themselves away from other people. And you know what? You're not called to be isolated. You are not called to stay away from people. Jesus poured himself out to the people. And that's what we're called to do, is to pour ourselves. Our lives are to be poured out. Our lives are not about me, you. They're about pouring yourself out to others to help others. I'm going to quit because I have more stuff, but nothing that important, I don't think. I want to pray for you guys, okay? I mean, I think I kind of like said enough, so y'all got the idea. We shouldn't fear, and fear is sin. So we're going to take authority over fear. We're going to back up and do the bitterness and the fear. And I've got a little bit of a late start, but we're going to do it anyway. So the CD is going to have to run. I'm not quitting. Because you know what? Amen. The reason I'm not going to quit is because I'm not in charge. He is. And this is what he's told me to do. So we're gonna pray. I'm going to have you repent for two things today, just because we want to break the legal rights. All right. So I want you to get ready to know that you are going to get delivered of what we come against today, just because the legal rights are broken. If you come into agreement with me, as I'm calling these things out of you, they will leave, all right? It's that simple. So we are going to repent for the iniquity of fear, and fear is a strong man, and bitterness is a strong man. They have all these fruits underneath them. So we're going to repent for them being in our family line, and then I'm going to have you repent and forgive anybody that you may need to forgive. Now, you might think, well, you know, Bev, you do this every single time you do deliverance. I do. But not everybody in this room is in this room every time I do deliverance. So if I bypass someone, I'm not going to break their legal rights. Like if I have somebody in my class here today who's never been in my class today before when I've prayed like this, they need those legal rights broken. Okay? So I want you to say, Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive my iniquity and the iniquity of all my ancestors. We have sinned against you, but today I repent for my entire ancestral line and myself, because we have committed the sins of unforgiveness, bitterness, resentment, fear, trusting in man rather than you. In the name of Jesus, I ask you to forgive and cleanse me and my blood, my generations. Purge from my spirit, soul, and body all this iniquity. I now command all this iniquity of fear and bitterness residing in my bones and organs to exit my body now. In the name of Jesus, iniquity, leave my body. Leave my generations. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, leave my bones, my organs, my blood. In Jesus' name, I command any curse that has resulted from this iniquity to go and be broken in the name of Jesus. And I declare that the righteousness of God is being established in my life with all the blessings of God. In Jesus' name. Father God, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you died that I might be forgiven. By an act of my will, I now choose to express the desire of my heart and forgive those who have hurt me. I forgive. Now I want you to say whoever you need to forgive, just say it quietly. In the name of Jesus. And also say what you forgive them for. Also. But you need to be specific in that. I forgive each and every one of these. And I release them into the freedom of my forgiveness in Jesus' name. And by a choice of my will, I release myself from that person and the wrong that was done to me. I release myself today. I come out of being a victim any longer in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now just take a deep breath and release that. Jesus' name, amen. You're good. Hallelujah. All right, now I'm going to pray. And I'm just going to take authority over some things. And I'm just going to cast that out. And I'd like some of my team to get up and just kind of move around and walk around if you would. And the rest of you just breathe out, cough, whatever. Speak to it yourself and tell it to go. It'll obey you as well as it'll obey me. Because I'm only speaking out of the authority of Jesus Christ. And you have that same authority. Okay, it's no other authority but his. And do remember at all times that the enemy only operates from deception, from that position. We operate from the position of victory. Okay, so Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I literally go after the foundations. I'm going to start with bitterness. I come against the foundation of bitterness in the lives of your people, God, that have been in their generations for years in the name of Jesus. I loose the iniquity of bitterness in the families in this room right now in the name of Jesus. I loose the poison that was released into the bloodline because of this bitterness back in the generations, God, and we've repented of that. And I release all of the iniquity, all of the sickness, all of the disease, all the poison, God, all of the hatred and the anger and the division that has come into family lines because of bitterness and unforgiveness, God. In the name of Jesus, we release them right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we declare today that the enemy has been cut off and vanquished in everlasting ruins today. In the name of Jesus, we pluck up and overthrow the cities and the structures and the blueprinting and the plans and the schemes of hell that have been against every one of you in your generations. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I take right now the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we begin to break down structures, foundations that have been in your life for years and years and years. And today we declare a shattering right now in the name of Jesus. God, we come against the blueprints of the enemy in the name of Jesus. God, I come against structures and governmental systems that have, God, literally been set up in the lives of the people to control, to operate in Jesus' name. I break down structures of infirmity, of depression, of bitterness, of suffering, loss in the name of Jesus. God, I break down the structures right now of hatred and poverty and lack and fear in the name of Jesus. I break those down. All the roots of bitterness in the name of Jesus. All those roots of fear in the name of Jesus. And God, I command right now, anger come out in the name of Jesus. All that low-lying seated anger that's in the inside of you, that low-level anger where it's just like a frustration and an irritation and an impatience, come out in the name of Jesus. Come out, all of it, expel out from the generations. We declare those structures are broken in the name of Jesus. I command right now things that have happened in your bloodline where there's been violation and that violation has gone from generation to generation. Today we upheaval that structure. We uproot it. God, we release a tsunami of the Holy Spirit against it in the name of Jesus. And we drive it out. We drive it out. In the name of Jesus, I command right now, expel, angels of the living God, remove every spirit as it comes out into the abyss. We bind every strong man right now. In the name of Jesus, I command anti-submissive spirits, those spirits that will not allow you to even fully submit to God. I cast them out right now in the name of Jesus. Take a deep breath and release it. All that cold-heartedness, come out. All that poison of unforgiveness and bitterness, expel in the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out. All that rejection, expel. Come out. Rejection that's been in your bloodline, come out. Come out in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come up and out. All that distrust, come out. Come up and out in the name of Jesus. Come up and out. All that hardness of heart, expel. Cancer, come out in the name of Jesus. I command cancer, come out. That's come in through a root of bitterness. That's come in through division in families. You expel that have come in from division between mother and daughter. Come out in the name of Jesus. Expel. Expel all that infirmity, all that sickness. Come up and out in the name of Jesus. Come up and all that emotional numbness, come out. No feelings in the name of Jesus. All that shutdown where you have chosen to shut down in the name of Jesus. You need to repent of that. If you've chosen, I will not open up my heart to people. I will not allow anybody in. You need to repent for that because that is a vow that will hold you in that place. And God, we break that vow. Any vows of where they've chosen to shut down in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I command all that regret, all that resentment, all that self-pity, come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. Expel. Come up and out in the name of Jesus. All that tiredness, all that fatigue, come out. Come up and out in the name of Jesus. All that weariness, expel. Come up and out in the name of Jesus. Come out. All that destruction, expel up out of the generations. All that accusation, come out in the name of Jesus. Come up and out. All that resentment, come out. Spirits of resentment, spirits of strife, spirits of discord, come out in the name of Jesus. All the self-rejection, come out in the name of Jesus. Loose, loose God's people. Let go. Come up and out in the name of Jesus. Come up and out. All that poison, all that acrimony, all that regret, come out in the name of Jesus. Loose and let go. That spirit of bondage, come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come up and out in Jesus' name. Expel all that anxiety, all that fear. Loose and let go. Expel. Come up and out. Compulsive behaviors, come out in the name of Jesus. Come up and out in Jesus' name. All that pride, all that haughtiness, expel. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come up and out. All that lawlessness, going your own way, doing your own thing, disregarding counsel, disregarding the word of God, come out in the name of Jesus. All that lawlessness, all that rebellion, come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. All that independent spirit, I'll do it my way, expel in the name of Jesus. All that arrogance, come out in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, come up and out. All that argumentativeness, come out. Come out, always arguing. Come out, never submitting. Come out in the name of Jesus. All that competition, expel. In the name of Jesus, all that unteachableness, come out in the name of Jesus. Come out, that inability to receive counsel, that inability to receive and submit to instruction, come out in the name of Jesus. Come up and out, all that rebellion, expel, come out in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, that obstinate, stubborn spirit, that perverse spirit, that which goes contrary to truth, come out, all of it. Come up and out. That which goes contrary to what the word of God says, expel. Come out, all that hardness of heart, all that lack of submission, come out. Come out, that's real strong in here. That lack of submission, come out in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And there's almost like a lofty thing that has said, oh, but you submit, but you don't. And you do what you want to when it comes to the word of God. When it comes down to where the rubber meets the road, you're still doing your own thing. And in the name of Jesus, I bind that, but you're going to have to let it go. It's not my demon. I bind that unsubmissive spirit, that spirit of lawlessness. I break its hold. And even the fear that's behind it that holds it in place, in the name of Jesus, that antichrist, unsubmissive spirit, expel in the name of Jesus. Come up and out in Jesus' name. Expel. I command a spirit of abandonment, fear of abandonment, come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. That spirit of alarm, that afraid, come out. That spirit of dread, come up and out in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, that spirit of dread, alarm, horror, come out. Terror, come out. Cringing fear, come out. Crippling fear, expel in the name of Jesus. Come out. All that paranoia, come out in the name of Jesus. All that anxiety, come out. Fear of tomorrow, fear of what's going to happen. All those phobias. I speak right now to phobias, multiple phobias in this house. And I bind a phobic spirit. And I command phobia, come out in the name of Jesus. Fear of closets, come out. Claustrophobic spirits. Fear of water, come out in the name of Jesus. Fear of snakes, all that paranoia, come out in the name of Jesus. Come up and out. Fear of the dark, come out in the name of Jesus. Expel fear of bugs, come out. Fear of insects, come out in the name of Jesus. Loose and let go. Fear of sickness and disease, come out. Come out. Fear of getting sick, come out. Every little pain you get, you think you got a horrible disease, come out in the name of Jesus. Expel. Come out. All that worry over finances, come out in the name of Jesus. Expel. Loose and let go. Come out. All that worry, come out in the name of Jesus. Come up and out. All that worry, all that poverty, all that lack, all that torment, come out. Mental torment, expel in the name of Jesus. Come up and out. All that doubt, all that unbelief, come out in the name of Jesus. Spirit of insanity, come out in the name of Jesus. Come out. All that confusion, all that insanity, expel. All that insecurity, come out. All that insecurity, come up and out. All that ineptness, come out in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, all that ineptness, come out. All that insecurity, come out in the name of Jesus. Come out. Fear of people touching you, come out. Fear of getting close to people, fear of being hurt, expel. In the name of Jesus, come up and out. All that indecisiveness, come out. That inability to make decisions, always afraid you're going to make the wrong decision, come out in the name of Jesus. That distrusting spirit, come out in the name of Jesus. Expel, come up and out. All that hysteria, always crying, all that, those hysterical spirits, come out in the name of Jesus. All that moodiness, all that depression, take a deep breath, release it, come out. All that negativity, come out. Come out. All that negativity, always negative words coming out of your mouth. All those critical words, come out. All that sarcasm, come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, that orphan spirit, feeling like you don't belong anywhere, you can't belong anywhere, that spirit of rejection, come out in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, all that passivity, come out. Come out, no fight, all that passivity, I'll just take it, come out in the name of Jesus. Expel in Jesus' name. That recluse spirit, that isolation, come out. That hiding, expel in the name of Jesus. That spirit that you just feel like you're ugly, I command that to come out. You feel like there's something wrong with you. All that rejection, all that self-rejection, all that hurt and woundedness, come out in the name of Jesus. All that timidity, come out. Come out. All that timidity, come out in the name of Jesus. Spirit of intimidation, come out. Come out. All that intimidation, expel in the name of Jesus. All that vexing, all that unworthiness, come up and out in the name of Jesus. I speak to high blood pressure. I break its authority, and I command high blood pressure that's come in from fear and anger and stress. You come out in the name of Jesus. Come out. All that high blood pressure, loose and let go in the name of Jesus. Heart attacks out of the generations, come out In the name of Jesus, expel all that death. I call death out in the name of Jesus. Come out in the name of Jesus. All that death, that fear of dying, come out in the name of Jesus. That fear of cancer, fear of having a horrible disease, expel in the name of Jesus. I speak to blocked arteries and I command them right now in the name of Jesus to dissipate, to shatter and flush out right now in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Expel. I command false personalities, come out. All that play acting, come out. All that lying, all that play acting, trying to impress others, come out in the name of Jesus. Afraid to be you, come out. Afraid that people are going to find out who you really are. Expel in the name of Jesus. Come out. All that play acting, all that performance, come out in the name of Jesus. Loose and let go. Take a deep breath. Release it. You release what you get, or what's there. You're going to get what you're going to get freedom if you release. Being overly sensitive, come out. Always a chip on your shoulder. Anytime anybody says something, you take it wrong. That spirit of offense, come out in the name of Jesus. Spirit of offense, come out in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, take a deep breath. Deep breath, all of it. Lift up and off of God's people in the name of Jesus. Now, if I didn't even say what you deal with, you can speak to it. I speak to it. You tell it to go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, everything, 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 tell it to go. All that hopelessness, leave. Spirit of divorce and separation, that onslaught against marriages, God, we break it in the name of Jesus. We bind the spirits of divorce and division in homes in the name of Jesus. All that discord in your house, we drive it out in the name of Jesus. All that bitterness in your house, we drive it out in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, all that anxiety in your house, we drive it out in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, get out, go. Drunkenness, go. Alcohol, go. In the name of Jesus, come out. All those addictions, come out. Addictions to nicotine, come out. In the name of Jesus, expel, loose and let go. Come out. Come out, those smoking demons, that addiction to marijuana, come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. You marijuana spirits, cocaine, come out in the name of Jesus. Even the lie that says, oh, but marijuana is medicine now. You come out in the name of Jesus. Expel. Come out in the name of Jesus. Those addictive, lying spirits, expel. Expel in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Anything that holds you in bondage or slavery to it is not of God. Now, you can't quit it. It's got you. And you need to get it out in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I speak to lying spirits, deception in the name of Jesus. Just take a deep breath and release all that in the name of Jesus. Every bit of it. That fear of not being liked, come out. Fear that people don't like you. Expel in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. All that depression, all that hopelessness, all that anguish, all that sadness and sorrow, come out. Let it go. Don't hold on to it. In the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I just thank you for what you've done here today, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask God that, Lord, you continue to expose every area in our lives, God, where we may have bondage and where we may have holds of the enemy in our lives, even out of the generations. And we speak to generational strongholds today. And we prophesy their demise in the name of Jesus. We declare that their cities come to ruins and their structures, God, are broken down in the name of Jesus. That literal years of where foundations have been built, God, we declare those old foundations to come down today in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. God, where there's been addictions in family, where there's been divorce in houses, where there's been rebellion, God, in the houses. God, we declare where there's been sickness and disease in families, God, we declare the structures and the blueprinting of the enemy, the strategies of the enemy today. God, we take the blood of Jesus against those things. And God, we declare they are broken in Jesus' name. Father, I pray, oh God, that the word and knowledge would begin to operate in your people. God, I pray that the gifts of the Spirit, God, would begin to flow and operate in the name of Jesus, God, that we would be discerning, and God, we would know works of darkness that come against us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that you give them understanding of who they are in you, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And God, we declare victory today, God. We declare the peace of God over this house. We declare the blessings of God over every person here today. We declare the blessings of God over their families, over their finances, God, that you said in your word you would prosper what we set our hands to, God. And God, we declare that we are prosperous. We declare, Jesus, you were made poor that we might be made rich. So, Father, we declare we are rich in the name of Jesus today, God. We are wealthy people, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus, you bore all of our sicknesses, all of our diseases, God, that we might be healed. And God, today we declare we are healed in the name of Jesus. Father, you took every chain, every bondage. And today we declare we are free in the name of Jesus. I declare that not one tactic nor one scheme of hell can hold you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, we break off the shackles. We break off the chains today in the name of Jesus. God, we do declare no more chains holding me in the name of Jesus. From now on, I am free in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And Father, I think that we will serve no man. We will serve you, oh God, with all of our hearts and all of our souls. And God, I just declare today the blessings of God upon your people, that they are blessed coming in. They are blessed going out. They are blessed in the city, blessed in the store. Blessed is the fruit of their bodies. Blessed are their bodies in the name of Jesus. And God, we thank you for what you did here today in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, that's it. At the end of this class, we are going to do a big corporate deliverance where we're going to have our music back in here too. So it's going to be huge when we do that again. But go and know you have authority and you don't have to put up with what the devil tries to bring your way. Amen. Remember, he operates only through deception. Because he was totally defeated. We operate from victory. He has no victory. We are the ones with the victory. Amen.